Well, if you have your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 15. And while you're turning there, let me say thank you to both Bob and Michael for filling in for me while I was gone on vacation. And thank you for praying for us while we were gone. We saw Niagara Falls. It's a big old waterfall. That's about it. It was great to see. I don't know how many of you have seen Niagara Falls. Yeah, it's great to see. But once you see it, time to go. So it's good to be home with you this morning. This morning I want to ask you a question. How do you determine what is a priority in your life? What process do you determine? What process do you use to determine what is the highest of priorities? One author, he says that determining a priority can be likened to three things: rubber, metal, and glass. He says if something is like rubber and you drop rubber like a basketball, life bounces back and nothing really happens, right? So this morning you were heading to church and you were running late to church and your dog was hungry and you forgot to feed your dog. No big deal. Nothing happens. You feed him when you get home, right? The second type would be metal. I've got a metal coffee cup here. If you drop something that's metal, well, it takes a little while to pick it up, right? It makes a lot of noise and it can do some damage. So say, for example, you're going to work and you miss an important meeting at work. Well, that could do some damage, but you can get the cliff notes from your coworker and you can figure out what you've missed. It's not as good as being there, but you can figure it out. The third and highest priority is crystal, glass. Are you waiting for me to drop this? If you drop glass, it shatters everywhere, right? It breaks into several pieces. In fact, we have an angel at home, a statue of an angel that was on our top shelf of our bookcase. And we did some deep cleaning on vacation. That's what we do on vacation. We clean deeply. And that angel fell down and its wing broke off. Its head broke off. I think its hand broke off. Now we super glued it. So when you come to my house and you see the angel, you're going to see it from a distance and you won't be able to tell anything. But get it up close and you can tell at one point that angel had no head, had no wing, and had no hands. It's been super glued back together. Those are your highest of priorities. That when you drop those things, it shatters. Nothing can really make that back to the way it was to begin with. And here's the secret. Only you can determine personally what your highest of priorities are. But the Lord has given us as a church and as individuals a glass priority, a priority made of glass. And that priority is this: the gospel above all. Yeah. That the gospel is above all. We cannot afford to drop that. We cannot afford to drop the gospel, the agreement, the acceptance, and the application that the gospel is truly above all. Now, when I say the gospel, what I mean by that is that Jesus is God's Son who left heaven for earth, who came and lived a sinless life among us, that Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins. And if we agree with that and accept Him as our Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins, we are saved. That is the highest of priorities. We must be able to explain that to people. We must receive that truth, accept that truth, and agree with that truth. That's the gospel. But we also must apply the gospel because Jesus is Lord, and He's given us some instructions on how to live our lives in His Bible, the Word. And so when we apply the gospel, we are doing what He told us to do. We are living our lives in such a way that it brings Him glory. And by doing this, we are showing the world that there's a better way, that there's hope, that this world is not the best that there is to offer, that there's hope at the end of this struggling life. When we live and apply the gospel, we are showing the world that the gospel is above all. It is by the agreement and acceptance of the gospel that we are saved, and it's by the application of the gospel that we are sanctified. Both of those are priorities for us in the Christian life. Now, last week, Pastor Bob preached from Acts chapter 15, and he taught us in a great message, taught us how to handle disagreement. We saw that disagreement with the Jerusalem Council in the first half of Acts 15. They were wanting to add something to salvation. Salvation in the minds of some was, in order to be saved, it was by grace through faith plus what? Do you remember? Circumcision. And Paul and Barnabas show up and they say, no, we've seen evidence that the Holy Spirit is indwelling upon those, indwelling within those who are not circumcised. Their salvation is only by faith through grace and not of works. And Paul and Barnabas last week, they were on the same team. They were arguing together. They agreed on doctrine. They agreed on belief. But when we come to today's passage, we see that though they agreed on belief, they disagreed on behavior. And despite their disagreement, God still worked in the midst of it. Last week, Pastor Bob led us and taught us that when we disagree, we ought not divide. And yet that's exactly what we see Paul and Barnabas doing today. So what sense do we make of this? Well, today I want to show you from God's Word how God prioritizes the gospel above all. And you're going to see three ways that God does that. He prioritizes the gospel above all, and by extension, we too should prioritize the gospel. If you would, please bow your heads, close your eyes, humble your hearts, and let's pray to the Lord together. Father, we thank you for our time together. You are a good, gracious, and merciful God. Thank you for our worship. And Lord, as I stand to preach now, I pray, God, that you would be magnified and glorified and made big. Yes, Lord. God, I pray for lives to be changed. Yes. Father, I pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, someone here, whether they're joining in the room, on the radio, on our live feed, I pray, God, they would repent and believe and accept you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us that you would help us to apply the gospel to our lives. Teach us from your word. Show us how the gospel is a great priority. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Three ways God shows us that the gospel is our top priority, the glass priority, if you will. Number one, God turned division into multiplication for the sake of the gospel. Our passage today begins in Acts chapter 15, but the story really begins back in Acts chapter 13. If you would, turn a page back to Acts chapter 13 and find verse 13 of Acts 13. And this is where our story begins. Here's what God's word says. Acts 13, verse 13. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, say hold up. Good. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. The Bible says this: Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and went back to Jerusalem. It was there in Pamphylia that John Mark left them and headed home. We don't know why he left. We don't know what events occurred. We don't know why. All we know is that he left. He abandoned them and went back home. Now, turn your Bibles back to Acts chapter 15 and look in verse 36. And the Bible says this: after some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take along John, who was called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. Verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Pause right there. Division. Man, don't you just hate to see that? Don't you just hate to read those words? Last week, Bob showed us how do we handle disputes. And Bob, I don't want to misquote you, so tell me if I get this right. You said this: it's okay to disagree as long as it doesn't lead to division. And that is 100% biblically accurate. Now, here we are, the very next story in the book of Acts, we see that Paul and Barnabas, they had a dispute, they had a discussion, they had a disagreement, and it led to division. So what do we do with this? From Paul's perspective, he concluded that Mark had deserted them once. He had already deserted them. And by the way, look back in verse 36. tell me where they were going on this missionary journey. In verse 36, what's it say? They're going back to the same place where they were. They're going back to the same place where Mark had already deserted them once. And so from Paul's perspective, the question is this: why in the world would we take this guy to the same place where he abandoned us already? Why would we do that? The work is too important and we need someone who's committed to the cause to go with us. Why would we do that? That's a logical and solid conclusion, is it not? But then comes Barnabas. And you remember Acts chapter 4, verse 36 refers to Barnabas as the son of encouragement. He was a great encourager. And by the way, according to Colossians chapter 4, Barnabas and Mark are cousins. So from Barnabas' perspective, a perspective of encouragement, well, he argued that Mark ought to be able to go with him. And his question was, why wouldn't we take him with us? Why wouldn't we? God is a God of second chances. He wants to serve the Lord. He's good help. Why not take him? So I just want to survey the room, all right? And I won't tell you where I land until after you vote. If you were in the room that day with Paul and Barnabas, and you heard the debate, and you listened to both sides present, and by the way, my translation says this was a sharp disagreement. Does your translation say something like that? This was a big fight. This was a big discussion. If you were in the room and you would have sided with Paul, if you would have said, look, man, we just can't afford to take him. He's already abandoned us once. Why would we take him again? If you're on that side of the debate, would you just raise your hand? Got a few, three, four, five. Good, good. If you're on Barnabas' side of the debate and you say, God's a God of second chances, let's take him. Raise your hand. Good. And therein lies the problem, right? Our heads go with Paul. With Paul, it makes logical sense. We can't afford this. But our hearts lie with Barnabas. By the way, I think I can make a biblical case that Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong, but I won't do that this morning because Luke doesn't tell us exactly. He just leaves it as this. There was a dispute and they parted way. I would have been on the side of Paul, by the way. I would have agreed with Paul and I would have said, maybe next time, Mark, but not this time. Let's see how things go. Well, nonetheless, Paul and Barnabas had a great sharp disagreement, and they parted company. Look in your Bibles, verses 39 through 41, and look at what happens next. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Did you see it? Did you see our point there, how God turned division into multiplication for the sake of the gospel? Paul and Barnabas divided. It was a sad commentary. But God is so good that he took that division and he turned it into multiplication. Instead of one mission team going out, there were now how many? Two mission teams going out. Barnabas and Mark went to the west. Elliot, can you show us the map? Barnabas and Mark, if you can find Syria on the map, it's way on this side. Go to the north of Syria, you find Antioch. Barnabas and Mark went to that little island, the purple island in the Mediterranean Sea named Cyprus. They went west. Paul and Silas, they went north. And by the way, the Lord did bring reconciliation to Paul and Barnabas. We see that in the book of Colossians, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In the book of Colossians, we learn that Barnabas is with Paul again. And by the way, the Lord even brought reconciliation between Mark and Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, at the end of his life, Paul describes Mark as very useful. So the Lord took what could have been, I mean, it was an ugly situation, it was. But he brought something good out of it. The gospel was now going to advance to the west through Barnabas and Mark, and the gospel was going to advance to the north through Paul and Silas. By the way, this is the last time we hear the name Barnabas in the book of Acts. Well, God turned division into multiplication for the sake of the gospel. Secondly, God turned weakness into strength for the sake of the gospel. Paul and Silas now head north, and we follow them on their missionary journey. They were going back to the towns that they had already visited. There were two men instead of three. It was just Paul and Silas. Mark wasn't with them. They were in a weakened state. But look at what happens. Look in your Bibles. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. We're just going to read the very first half of that verse. Paul went on to Derbe and where'd he go? Lystra. Do you remember what happened in Lystra? If you go back and look in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 20, you'll recall what happened while Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra. Remember, there was a man that was there who had never walked before, and the Lord used Paul to heal that man. And if you look in your Bibles, if you can glance back, Acts chapter 14, verses 12 says that the people of Lystra shouted, "The gods have come down in human form." And they called Barnabas Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. They were literally worshiping Paul and Barnabas there in Lystra. But if you remember from that sermon several weeks ago, their worship quickly turned into anger. And verse 19 says, Acts 14, verse 19, that some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won over the crowds, and they stoned Paul. And they dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. And the end of verse 19 says this, after the disciples gathered around him. And I wonder, who was there? Who gathered around the motionless, lifeless Paul? Who was in that group of the disciples who gathered around him? I wonder if Timothy was there. Timothy from the Bible, the one who's got two books named after him in the Bible. You say, why would you wonder that? Well, look in your Bibles, Acts 16, verse 1. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named, somebody help me out, Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was Greek. That's important. Remember that. His mama was Jewish, his daddy was Greek. Verse 2, the brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. The first half of verse 3 says, Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. How's that for turning a weakness into strength? God made the mission team so much stronger with the addition of Timothy. And by the way, Paul and Timothy would go on to have quite the relationship. Paul would refer to him as his true son in the faith. Timothy was soon to be a part of a mission team. A dynamic, powerful mission team. But there was one more ironic step that had to take place. Do you remember the debate at the Jerusalem Council? What was the debate about? Does circumcision save you? And the answer was no. Salvation is by grace through faith. And now look at verse 3. We'll start at the beginning. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. So he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew his father was a Greek. Hold up. Time out. We just got done settling this issue. Salvation is by grace through faith. Circumcision to a believing Jew was evidence that you were saved, that you were one of God's people. And we just got through, in the Jerusalem Council, we just got through deciding that salvation does not require any extra work. Salvation is by grace through faith. And now we come into Lystra. Paul meets Timothy. And what's the first thing he does? Now, did he do an about face? I don't think so. Paul took Timothy. He circumcised him. And my Bible says, because of the Jews who were in those places. So why? Why did he do this? Because the gospel was above all. Paul knew that if he went into town and went into a Jewish synagogue with a young man named Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and father was Greek, he knew that if he went into a Jewish synagogue with a young Jew named Timothy, who has a Jewish mother and a Greek father, the question was going to be raised. Is that young man circumcised? And Paul could spend his time fighting that. Paul and Timothy both could have spent their time fighting that fight, but instead they concluded that the gospel message was above all, that they didn't want to fight over secondary matters. Timothy was not circumcised. He was circumcised not because he needed to be saved, but rather he was circumcised because Paul and Timothy did not want their Christian liberty to be a distraction to the gospel. The gospel is above all, even our own Christian liberty. Amen. And look at what happens in verses 4 and 5. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to observe. So the churches were strengthened. Isn't that beautiful? The churches became stronger. God turned weakness into strength for the sake of the gospel. Thirdly, God turned no into go for the sake of the gospel. Elliot, will you pull the map back up for me? I want to show you this map. Now, if you can see, can y'all see my red dot on there? You see where Asia is? Okay, keep that in mind. Right now, you can see Lystra is over here, Derbe, in the green country of Galatia. Here's Lystra. And now we're in Antioch of Pisidia. That's where we are in verse 5. And I want you to see what happens. Look in your Bibles, verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. The Bible says they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Do you see that on the map? They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Galatia's here. You can't see Phrygia, but it's in this area. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden to speak. They've been forbidden, rather, by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in where? In Asia. They wanted to go west. They wanted to go this way, perhaps into Laodicea, perhaps into Sardis. They wanted to go this way, but God said no. They wanted to go west, but God said no. So instead, what did they do? They went north. They went in the direction that God didn't stop them from going in. And look in your Bibles, verse 7. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. Do you see Bithynia up here? It's just north of Galatia, that big country. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by, the Bible says, verse 8, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now you won't find Mysia on this map here, but we can trace their journey. They wanted to go into Asia. God said no. We don't know how. We just know that he said no. So they wanted to go west. Instead, they went north. And then they wanted to go east, and God said no. And so what did they do? How did they figure out where to go? They just went to where God said. There wasn't an absence. There wasn't a no. God didn't give them a no in going east. And so they went east, and now they find themselves right here. This is the city of Troas, right on the coast of the Aegean Sea. That's where we are now. Now, we don't know why exactly. We don't know what exactly God did to tell them no. I have a theory that I'll share with you in just a moment. We just know that God said no. And we know that they chose obedience, traveling in the direction where God, there wasn't red flashing lights saying, don't go here. They went that way. And they find themselves in Troas. I want you to look in your Bibles. Every eye in your Bible. Look in verse 7 and 8 of your Bible. And tell me what pronoun is used in verse 7 and 8. What pronoun is used to describe the mission team? It's the word they. Do you see it? They wanted to go. They. But in chapter 10, a significant and important change happens. Look in your Bibles. We're going to begin in verse 9. They're now in Troas on the coast. And look in your Bibles, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to the Mediterranean and help us. Verse 10. After he had seen the vision, what does your Bible say? We immediately made efforts to set out from Macedonia. concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Did you see that little shift in the pronoun usage? When Paul and Silas left Antioch, the writer says they left. Paul and Silas added Timothy to the mission team. They, when the Holy Spirit had forbidden them to go into Asia, it was they were forbidden. But now we get to the coast of the Aegean Sea while they're in Troas, and Paul has a dream from a guy, or Paul has a dream, and there's a guy in his dream who lives in Macedonia, and he's saying, come on over and help us. And then in verse 10, we see after he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia. No longer was the author of Acts talking about them. He was now talking about us, which tells us what? That it's right there in Troas that Luke joined the mission team. Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And it's right there, right here, in verse 10, that Luke joins the mission team. And what was Luke's profession? Anybody know? He was a what?
Physician.
So my theory, it's a loosely held theory. You can disagree with it, and I won't be mad at you. My theory is that Paul got sick, and his illness prevented them from going into Asia and into Bithynia. It was his illness that prevented that, and in Troas, they met a doctor named Luke. And Luke then joined the mission team and became the physician, if you will, for both Paul and the team. We don't know that for sure. That's not gospel truth. That's just a theory that I hold very loosely. Many theologians hold that theory very loosely. We just know the language changes from they to we right there in Troas. And what did they do when they left, we'll use the right pronoun, when we left Troas, they concluded what? That God had called them to preach the gospel. And that's going to be, verse 10 is going to be so crucial for us for next week. Verse 10, you need to like burn that in your brain. It was God who led them from Troas into Macedonia with the express purpose of preaching the gospel. And why? Because the gospel is the highest of priorities. Because the gospel is the glass priority that we cannot afford to drop. Listen, we can make a lot of mistakes as a church. We can have words spelled wrong. We can miss lines in a song. We can make a lot of mistakes in the church, but we cannot afford to drop the gospel. We cannot afford to drop the clear explanation that Jesus is God's Son, who came and lived a sinless life for us, who died on the cross for us, and rose again 3 days later. We can't afford to drop the gospel. We must clearly explain the gospel to the lost using every single resource we have available to us. We must sacrifice our time. We must part with our money. We must use every ability that we have to be a gospel witness to the lost in our community, in our country, and in our world. But listen, we must also apply the gospel to our own lives. We must use every resource we have available to us to learn the Bible. Be that in Sunday school or Wednesday night or devotions at home. We must use every resource we have available to learn the Bible and to apply the Bible to our lives. We must sacrifice our time, our Sunday morning. We must sacrifice our time. We must part with our money, and we must use every ability that we have to learn what the Bible says and to do what the Bible says. Why? Because the gospel is above all. It is the glass priority that we cannot afford to drop. It is the highest priority that we have as a church. The Lord Jesus even said this before he ascended into heaven. Do you remember Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20? They call it the Great Commission. It's the gospel call to all of us. Here it is, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. He says, go, therefore, just before he ascends into heaven, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the highest of priorities. He said, go and tell people, as you're going, tell people who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters. Jesus is the sinless Son of God who died to pay for our sins. He defeated death, and if we repent of our sin and trust in Him, we will be saved. And this life will still be hard, full of challenges, but heaven awaits. Eternal life begins the moment you trust in Christ. If you don't know Him, repent and believe in Him today. Repent and be saved. But don't miss how Jesus ends the Great Commission. We're called to go and tell, but we're also called to apply what the Lord has said. Listen to it. Verse 20. I'll read the whole thing. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Not teaching them all that I've taught you. Not sharing information, but teaching them to do what? Observe, apply, do what the Bible says. That's how we apply the gospel to our lives, by doing what the Lord says through His Word. And remember the end of verse 20. Jesus said this, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He is always with us. Good times and bad, the Lord is there with us. The gospel is our highest of priorities. It is the last priority that we cannot afford to drop. And so I say again, if you don't know Jesus, repent and believe and be saved. And if you do know Jesus, do what He's called you to do. Do what He tells you to do clearly in His Word. And if you're trying to figure out the Lord's will for your life and you just don't quite know what He wants you to do, just keep doing what you know to do. That's what they did. God wasn't hiding His will from them. He told them very clearly, no, do not go into Asia. No, do not go into Bithynia. So what did they do? They just kept doing what they knew to do. And then it became clear that the reason why God said no to Asia and no to Bithynia was because they needed to go into Macedonia. And next week we'll see the story in Philippi and how the Lord used them mightily in Philippi. Here's the point. The Lord's not keeping His will from you. Ask Him. He'll show you. And if He doesn't, keep doing what you know to do until He makes it clear. Keep following His will generally until He reveals to you His will specifically. That's the application of the gospel. Do what God has told us to do. And we do all of that to the glory of God. And all God's people said, amen. Pray with me. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this lesson through the book of Acts. I pray, God, that You would do a mighty work with this sermon. Change lives, Lord, who You know what every individual who's here, with those who are joining on the radio and on live stream, You know what they need. And so, Lord, I pray You would meet their need. I pray, God, if there's someone who needs to repent and be saved, today would be the day that they trust in You and are saved. And Lord, for the rest of us, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, I pray You would help us every day to apply the gospel, to apply the fact that You are Lord of all, and help us to do what You've commanded us clearly in Your Word. We pray all this in the strong, saving name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.